If someone were to ask you to talk about your current job or your previous one, if you happen to be between jobs, what would you say? And how long would it take you to say it? In my experience as an executive recruiter and then an executive and career coach, it could take a long time. But when you get someone reading your experience entries on LinkedIn, their attention span is probably pretty limited. So, as a mid or senior level leader, how do you keep your experience entries brief and to the point while still doing your work justice? Stick around and I'll share how my experience as an executive recruiter led me to a simple and brief approach to writing LinkedIn experience entries that will leave your reader wanting more. I'm Doug Lester, an executive coach and career strategist to MBAs and ambitious professionals. I've worked one-on-one with well over 1,000 people, helping them craft compelling work-life narratives and advance satisfying, meaningful careers. When it comes to your career and your life, if you don't craft your own narrative, then someone else might do it for you, and you might not like what they come up with. So let's work together on your narrative now. If you haven't listened to the previous two episodes about crafting a compelling LinkedIn profile, then you might want to do that now. They're called How to Communicate Your Narrative in Your LinkedIn Headline and How to Write a LinkedIn About That Supports Your Narrative. I'll link to them in the show notes. In this episode, I'll be making references to your LinkedIn headline and about section that might not make complete sense if you haven't listened to those episodes. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, I'm going to remind you that up to now, we've made some claims about your work in your LinkedIn headline. You've told your reader what you do, the context you do it in, and the impact of your work. Then, in your About section, you expanded upon those ideas or claims about yourself and made light reference to actual work you've done. Much like an ad, you've made some claims and then you've given your reader a reason to believe that those claims are true. You've also made sure you use the keywords your target might be searching for, whether that target reader is an executive recruiter, a corporate recruiter, or a hiring manager. Let's be optimistic and assume that your reader is intrigued enough by your headline and about section that they scroll down the page and check out some of the compelling work experience you've referenced in your About section. This is where I think my experience as an executive recruiter is going to help give you an edge. Whenever I was first learning about the work experience of a potential candidate, I needed to know three things. Let's say that candidate is you. Here are the three things I need to know about each of your jobs, including your current one. What is the scale and scope of your responsibilities? What is the impact of your work? And what are your people or your stakeholder management responsibilities? If we're talking about a past job, then obviously you can put those three questions in past tense. Now, I can't take full credit for this framework. I learned it by watching my former boss and good friend, Jack Gorman, who is a partner at Isaacson Miller, a top executive search firm that hires senior leaders for mission-driven organizations. We worked together for almost 4 years. So, thank you, Jack. Now let's dive a little deeper into these three questions. There's a reason I needed to know these things, and I'd make a case that anyone considering you as a potential candidate for a role would need the answers to these three questions. First, we're talking about the scale and scope of your responsibilities. The reason for this question should be pretty obvious. I need to know if the work you're currently doing, or have done in the past, is similar to what I'm hiring for. That's the scope. And I not only need to know if it's similar or relevant, I need to know if it's at the same scale or was at the same scale as the role I'm hiring for, or not so far below it that this new job wouldn't be too much of a jump in responsibility. And scale can be measured in a variety of ways. Some obvious measures are quantitative, like dollars sold or raised or units sold, or they can be more qualitative, like strategic importance or public visibility. You'll have to decide what type of scale measures are relevant for your particular type of work and your industry. And let's talk about why getting a quick fix on this information is so important for executive recruiters. If you're familiar with some of the writing on my blog about executive recruiters, you'll know that they tend to be a little risk-averse. And it's because searches are often guaranteed for a period of time. Let's say that I'm currently working as an executive recruiter, and I place you in a job. And then you don't work out in the first year, and it's not the client's fault. Then I'm on the hook to redo that search for free. I won't get into the details of why that's a bad thing. It should be pretty obvious, and I'll cover the nuance of it in another episode, perhaps. But let's just say that it's a recruiter's nightmare. So I need to know that your work is relevant or big or weighty enough in whatever ways are important for my client's opportunity that you'll have a good chance of being successful once I place you. The second question I asked, what is the impact of your work, or in other words, how are things different because you are in the role, is also about relevance. When people are hiring for a senior level role, most of the people I work with are in mid or senior level roles, and those were the types of roles I filled as an executive recruiter. When people are hiring for roles like that, they're usually hiring a person to help them overcome a challenge that they're facing, whether that's because a business or organization has hit a roadblock, they might need a change in strategy, or perhaps it's something else equally important. So answering the question about impact is all about stories of challenges overcome. What challenge or challenges have you helped your current or previous employers overcome? And are they similar enough to the challenges my client is facing that I could reasonably present you as a person, or perhaps the person, who could help them overcome the challenges they're facing now? And the last question was about people and stakeholder management responsibility. As a recruiter, more often than not, my colleagues and I decided not to pursue people as candidates because the opportunity with our client or clients would have been too much of a leap in people and stakeholder management responsibility. So help the recruiter out and give them that information straight up. Tell them how many people you manage or managed, directly or indirectly. If you were the lead on a cross-functional team, give your reader or that recruiter a sense of how broadly your team reached across the organization and at what levels. And if you present regularly to members of the C-suite, then include that too. It's important. People and stakeholder management doesn't just have to be limited to the people you have direct hiring and firing responsibility for. Now, you may be wondering if the order matters. Do you need to provide the answers to these questions in the same order for each of your LinkedIn experience entries? Well, you don't have to. But why wouldn't you? If each of your experience entries provides roughly the same information in the same order, it makes it a lot easier for your reader. And that's the person you want to reach out to you, get to know you, and potentially hire you, or recommend that you be hired. Why not make it easier for them? So let's work on a couple of examples to make this a little more real. In the previous episode, we wrote a LinkedIn headline and about section, or a sentence for an about section, for someone who works in tech and launches wearables. The headline was, "Introducing advances in wearables to drive growth and help people live healthier lives." And the example sentence for the about was, "Working on the Apple Watch, I led a cross-functional team that sourced technologically advanced components on tight timelines. We were able to launch first-to-market functionality that enabled high-performance athletes and average consumers to track three key health and performance indicators not found in competitive products." So as an example, let's draft an experience entry for the role where, let's say you, worked on the Apple Watch. And we can skip past the job title for the experience entry. Honestly, I don't think it matters too much because we can still answer the three questions that your reader needs the answers to. The first question is, what is or was the scale and scope of your responsibilities. Now you'll have to indulge me because I'm just going to make some of this up, including the numbers, for the purpose of illustration. But let's say your LinkedIn experience entry for the job working on the Apple Watch goes something like this. Leading high visibility new product launches and updates, I had primary responsibility for delivering over $2 billion in annual revenue for the Apple Watch line, overcoming shortages and recurring delays while sourcing components critical to the latest advances in wearables. I led a cross-functional team spanning most major functions in the company to deliver a high-quality product on time to Apple's customers. I directly managed a team of 3 direct reports and 24 people in total, including dotted line reports. I regularly presented annual plans and progress updates to Apple's senior leadership team. So there you go. 4 sentences and 85 words, if I'm counting correctly. Pretty brief. And of course, made up. But you may have noticed that even a short paragraph can answer the 3 critical questions. The scale and scope of the responsibilities you had in that role are pretty clear. You were responsible for leading launches and updates for the Apple Watch that represented over $2 billion in annual revenue. We know what you did, and we know how big it was. The impact of your work is also there. You were able to deliver those launches and updates with technological advances on time, despite facing supply chain shortages. Notice that there's a story, even if it's brief, about a challenge overcome. That's important. Almost every job has challenges that you need to overcome in order to deliver value to a company, a consumer, a customer, or a client. And we know what your people and stakeholder management responsibilities were. I included mention of a mix of direct reports, indirect reports, and key interactions with others in the company, especially with senior leaders. As a recruiter, and even earlier, as a hiring manager at Johnson & Johnson for Neutrogena, this was probably enough information to get a potential candidate past an initial screen. In other words, this is typically the minimum information you need to convey in order to get a foot in the door. So make it easy on your reader to decide whether or not your experience is relevant for the role they're looking to fill or hire for. And if the answer is it's not, then it's good to figure that out early. It saves your reader time, and it saves you time, and potentially a little heartache. So what about your LinkedIn experience entries? If you were to read through them, does each entry answer the 3 questions in roughly the same order? And here they are again, for good measure. Number 1. What is or was the scale and scope of your responsibilities? Number 2. What is or was the impact of your work? Or in other words, what challenge or challenges did you need to overcome to deliver value to your company and its stakeholders? And number 3, what are or were your people and or stakeholder management responsibilities? And remember to think creatively here. We're not just talking about direct reports. If your entries don't clearly answer these 3 questions, then I'd suggest you consider rewriting them. And here's a bonus tip before we sign off. Once you've rewritten your LinkedIn experience entries, you can transfer them over to your resume as the short paragraphs that sit below your company name and your title, and above the bullets that typically include your achievements in a role. So not only will you be sprucing up your LinkedIn profile, you'll be getting a head start on a resume refresh. Can't beat that. And if you run into roadblocks or get a bad case of writer's block, consider signing up for a career strategy session with me at careernarratives.com/strategy. We'll do a little collaborative writing, and you'll be on your way to a LinkedIn profile that is not only compelling, but gives me or any reader plenty of reasons to believe the claims you're making about yourself in your headline and your about section. See you soon.